I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers will face Fenerbahce in the Europa League last 16 as Philippe Clement sidesteps any takeover talk. Brendan Rodgers is convinced Celtic can break through the Champions League glass ceiling, and Scotland's women are currently in Nations League action away to Austria. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Scott Allen and Cammy Bell. Plenty for us to get through. It's been a busy week in Scottish football, Cammy.
It certainly has, Andrew. Yeah, and it's a busy weekend ahead of us as well. An important weekend for a number of clubs with a sort of top six closing in. So teams will want to get points on the board, and as you said, the small matter of a potential takeover at Rangers as well.
Yeah, I didn't even mention the weekend's action. There's a lot of interesting games coming up starting tomorrow.
Yeah, there is.
Starting tonight, actually, the Championship game on. Scotland women are in action at the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of football, obviously, a full fixture card as well. I think for me, the main news from today, obviously, Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce away at Rangers in the round of 16. Probably the competition where we've seen the best version of Rangers this season, so that'll be an interesting one when he comes to town. As for Celtic, I think, obviously, off the back of that, how do we want to say, the very, very last gasp goal from Bayern Munich on Tuesday night, which obviously left them gutted, but I think for fan-wise, they were delighted with the performance. Celtic welcome a Hibs team who are on an unbeaten run and looking to keep that going.
Just shows how busy Scottish football can be. That how long ago does that Bayern Munich Celtic second leg seem? And so much has obviously happened since then. Brendan Rodgers talking today still about the reaction to that game, but so much reaction to potential takeover talks. There's been quotes from Dave King in the last hour that we'll bring to you very shortly to maybe move that story on a bit more. But yeah, it's all happening.
It's been a busy week, as you say. It feels like that Celtic game against Bayern was ages ago, but I just think with the whole Rangers takeover talk, we've got games this weekend. Rangers, as Scotty says, the Fenerbahce draw came out today, so it's been a busy week for Scottish football.
You look elsewhere, tomorrow's fixtures, new Motherwell manager in for his first game as well. That should be an interesting one.
Yeah, it should be. Obviously, I think it's Motherwell's form at home has been the reason why they've obviously appointed the new manager, losing to teams round about them as well, who will be fighting for every point at this moment in time. So they'll be looking to go off to a good start as a new coaching side.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need to get involved. Of course, you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. If there is any, you know, more motivation to call in, then this will be it as well. Tonight, you can win a VIP pair of tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day on Saturday, the 8th of March. You'll get access to the Legends Lounge. That includes a private bar, a welcome drink, a race card, private table and betting facilities, along with a Kelly pie as well. You can get your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk, and after the races, there's live music and entertainment. But everyone that comes onto the show tonight and makes a point goes into the draw. So call us on 0141 951 1025. Get your point across, whatever it is. Maybe it is that Rangers takeover talk. Maybe you're a Rangers fan who's more interested in Fenerbahce, the Europa League opponent. Celtic fans, we want to hear your thoughts on still the Bayern Munich game. Maybe you're looking ahead to the weekend. Maybe you want to talk about Brendan Rodgers' comments trying to break through that Champions League glass ceiling. Or maybe your team is in action and you're interested in that. 0141 951 1025. But as I say, get your point across. You'll be in with a chance to win those tickets at the Virgin Bet Air Race Day. There is, I was going to say, where do you start on a day like this? Because there is so much happening. But I think because there has been developments in the last hour or so, we should look at them, because so much has been said about Rangers and this potential takeover. 49ers Enterprises, who are the sort of investment wing of the San Francisco 49ers, the NFL side, of course, they are the big investors in Leeds United as well. Dave King, who is Rangers' biggest individual shareholder, has come out today. And this is really the first time that we've heard anyone involved with Rangers speak on the record about this. He's not named the 49ers as the investment group, but He does talk about investment in this. These are the quotes, speaking to a few of the newspapers today. He said, "I thought it would be a fitting legacy if I sought out potential investors that met my criteria who could buy out some of the existing shareholders, such as me, who'd no longer have a role to play, and then inject new funds to become a new anchor shareholder. Such an investor would need to be acceptable to supporters and to have the appropriate skill set to take our unique club forward. It was extremely unlikely to find an investor in Scotland, which is why I was pulled into this regime a long time ago. After kissing many frogs, I finally identified two possibilities, one of which was introduced by an ex-colleague. Both met my criteria and engaged them accordingly." So this, as I say, is the first time that we've seen, quotes, someone speaking about this on the record, which just substantiates these stories and shows that it looks as if this is going somewhere at the moment.
Yeah, definitely does it. And as Dave King says there, it meets his criteria. I think what he's talking about there is obviously looking to find the right people to come to the club. It's a club that's very close to him. He's been involved in it for a number of years. So, yeah, I think it looks as if there will be something on the cards. I'm pretty sure the Rangers fans are very excited about it. Certainly when I look at it from the outside in, the 49er Enterprise, if they're involved in it, it's certainly a huge organisation, sporting organisation. So that gives me real good belief that they can take the club forward, especially their involvement in UK football already with regards to Leeds United. So it gives you a little bit of confidence that people are going to come in and do the right things for the club.
Yeah, how important is that? Because Cammy talks about it there. Dave King mentions it, that the new investors, they need to have the club's best interest at heart. They need to be the right people to take the club forward when it is a larger investor group that maybe aren't from Scotland, maybe don't get the club, as people will say, in the way that people from Scotland might. Then there might be question marks about what the intentions are of certain organisations, whether, you know, the fans will come first and that type of thing. So how important is it that they make sure that it's the right people going into the club?
Yeah, it's the most important thing for me, I think. Right now, obviously, you're going through negotiations. Everything's going to be laid out in front of you, and they're going to come across as good guys, so you might not necessarily get what the true intentions are. But listen, there's no getting away from how big an organisation the 49ers are, but most importantly, how big an organisation Rangers is, and especially in this country. So if they get a nice balance and they come in and they put their money where their mouth is, then Rangers could be onto something real big here. I think when you look at Rangers over the last year, I think the net loss was 17.2 million in October. So obviously there would be debt that had to be owed as well. So there's going to be lots of changes to Rangers if this was to come through. I think it's led to believe it's to be done just in time for the summer. So it'll be an interesting summer for Rangers, obviously, transfer market. And if there would be a lot of money in there for a kitty to get some players in.
01419511025 is the number you need. Andy is a Rangers fan up first in Finiston. Andy, it's been a busy week, all things Rangers. What are you taking away from it at the moment?
Hi guys, how you doing? I'm quite excited about this mob taking over Rangers, but what I was saying to the producer, I said, tomorrow I'm hoping for a big, big performance of Rangers, because everybody already says, but all the games are dead rubbers, but we have to keep on winning to the end of the season. There can't be any more points being Celtic, and no, we can maybe call it back to maybe 6-7, but we just have to really keep going, because the Hearts game, to me, I was really disappointed with the Rangers' performance. And then in Europe, we just have to try and get as far as we can. But I'm not giving up with Rangers now. But I'm delighted with this 49ers thing. I think this could be a good thing for Rangers.
Andy, has that maybe injected a bit of positivity where there maybe wasn't for some Rangers fans tomorrow, the first home game since that defeat to Queen's Park? As you mentioned, it was a victory at Tynecastle, but maybe not in the style that Rangers fans might have wanted. There might have been an air of negativity around the place heading into tomorrow's game. Has that maybe changed just because of the developments this week?
Well, I think possibly it will, because I think the players have to really go, right, we could beat the Queen's Park, we didn't play well against Hearts, we won the game 3-1, but I just think the players now go, right, let's go for this. Let's just try and win every single game we can and see what happens at the end of the season.
Yeah, just how big is that, looking exclusively on the pitch at the moment, with it being Rangers' first game back at Ibrox after that Queen's Park game? How important is it that the supporters see what they want to see from the players tomorrow?
Yeah, listen, Andy's absolutely bang on. It's a big game for Rangers tomorrow. It's the first game since that devastating loss against Queen's Park, probably. Realistically, looking at probably the only trophy that Rangers are in for. Yes, they're still in Europe, but it's going to be a huge ask to go and win the trophy there. So I think that was a massive blow for Rangers. And yes, it's a huge game for the manager, huge game for the players to react and show what they can do. But yeah, I think Andy's right as well. They've got to build momentum because they've got these European games coming up pretty soon. I think it's a couple of weeks' time to play Fenerbahce on. I think it was the 6th of March is their first game. So they've got to build momentum, confidence going into that game. And that's all they can do at this moment in time. They can try and claw back any sort of points. Yes, I think the league's absolutely gone now, but they've got to be respectful between now and the end of the season. They've got to put in good performances and try and build momentum towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Philippe Clement was asked today, you know, what is the motivation for the rest of the season out of both domestic cups, 13 points behind Celtic in the league. Obviously, there's the Europa League, but domestically, and he said it, you know, at Rangers, it's to win every game. And that can still have its effect if Rangers are domestically doing well and they are winning games. It can have that effect in Europe as well, that they can both bounce off each other, but they just need to get a run going.
Yeah, they do, but I think, in fairness, if you take the Queen's Park game in isolation, Rangers' performances and obviously over the season, they've been strong at Ibrox. They have won most games, so they are initially strong at home out with that Queen's Park game. But I think Cammy makes a good point. It's trying to build that momentum and be one of the players who's going to be first pick for these Fenerbahce games coming up, because right now that is the only chance of realistic silverware for any of these Rangers players now. So that will be the key, to find a team and find a performance which then leads into Fenerbahce, because that is the biggest games in Rangers season at this moment.
Andy, what did you make of that draw today, Fenerbahce, in the last 16?
Well, it's kind of old for other Bob, the Bobo Gunmore, but yeah, listen, Joe Chirino coming to Ibrox, that'll be a great atmosphere. The fans will turn out, as they always do in European games, it's going to be brilliant. But I still think we can, because as in Europe, as the boys say in Europe, we're playing really, really well. But we just need to get this momentum going now in the league as well, to get everybody up for it and say, look, let's just go for it.
There always are just different expectations for Rangers in Europe, just given the track record that they have over a number of years of getting good results against strong European outfits, that Rangers fans, no matter really what is going on domestically, will feel that they can take the game to Fenerbahce and have a good go in that tie.
Absolutely, they can. Rangers are really strong in Europe, and they've shown that, as you said, over the last few years. Even this season, they've had strong performances. If you probably look, their best performances have been in European games, so they'll be confident going into that. It's going to be a really difficult tie, but it's interesting. Again, Andy mentioned it there, and yourself, that was the positivity. It was dead flat at Rangers after the Queen's Park, and it's interesting for me that this news has came out this week. And again, we spoke about that it's probably been in the background going on probably about 5 months now, that the negotiations have been going on for a new owner to come in and take on. But it just felt as if the club was really flat and there was nothing really there. So it's interesting that the news has came out. I wonder if that was a tactical move from inside the club, that they needed that little lift between now and the end of the season, for just to get the fans galvanised again and get behind the club and support the club before this takeover actually happens.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's have a listen to what Philippe Clement had to say about that potential takeover. He says he's not really taking any notice of it at the moment, and says he hasn't considered what it could mean for his future if it all goes ahead.
Those are business questions, so I think the club addressed things the last couple of days, Patrick did. So I'm here, like I said, for the sportive side, and I will see whatever moment in time if things change in the club. But I'm just purely focused on the team and the performances there. That's my job too. I think there's never a club where the manager is involved in these kind of things. If things change and there are a different budget, of course you're involved and it can help you, but that's the only thing. So that's business. No. I'm busy now with the group, with the players, the next game, all of that. Those are the things I have in control, in a part, because you don't have everything under control. No, it's about the job of every day, going full for that and getting the best out of the players that are available at that moment.
Philippe Clement is always going to focus on what's happening on the pitch, but would you expect that he still would be interested, maybe having discussions with a Patrick Stewart or a Fraser Thornton just about what is going on behind the scenes? He says that he's not considered what a potential takeover could mean for his future, but you do see it at times that takeovers happen, and you know the new majority owners maybe sometimes want to change manager.
Yeah, obviously, they when they're putting that much money into the club, they might want to have a guy who they've vetted to be in such a position at a club, at such a big club at Rangers. I think Philippe Clement, as he alluded on there, what he can affect at this moment in time is how his team's performing and what that looks like for guys watching, and most importantly, what the fans are thinking, how the team's performing, because time and time again this year, the thing with Rangers, it's been the inconsistency in performance. He needs to get his team performing consistently, winning games, and you throw in the Fernie Bacchetta, and we're speaking about it again, but you throw that in. We've seen Rangers this season time and time again, when you write them off on that Thursday night, they seem to produce a really good performance. So the focus for him is performance and winning games. Anything else just now needs to go to the back burner, because he doesn't have that credit in the bank at this moment in time.
Is that what managers maybe need to do, is just treat these things as, you know, it's a potential distraction, put it to the back of your mind, there's a job to focus on, and if something tangible happens, then worry about it or think about it at that point?
Yeah, listen, first and foremost, Philippe Clement's job is to win games of football for Rangers on the pitch. That's what he can influence. That's what he was saying in his interview there. But listen, he'll be in constant dialogue with Patrick Stewart. He should be, certainly, because again, there's obviously a summer transfer window coming up, so he should be building towards these things as well. Yes, things might change, and obviously new ownership might come in, but I'm pretty sure behind the scenes that there will be dialogue going between Patrick Stewart and the manager building for next season. They might change, but at this moment in time, he's the manager and he should be building for next season as well.
Philippe Clement is, of course, under contract. He is the Rangers manager, but if there is potential investors coming in, he'll want to impress them as well. He'll want to show them between now and the end of the season that he is the man to take Rangers forward, and if they are going to inject cash into the club, that he's the man that they want to put it in the hands of.
Yeah, and that purely comes down to how his team's performing and winning games for Rangers, handling the pressure that's placed upon the coaching staff and the players. That's the only way you can impress them. I think you look at Man United when their new owner came in, and they actually stuck with Ten Hag in the end. So listen, I think that was based off the fact they won the FA Cup game against Manchester City. So from now to the end of the season, it's for Philippe Clement, it's huge to get that consistency and performance.
Well, thank you to Andy. He is in the hat to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day. And to get in the hat, all you need to do is come on air and make a point. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want more discussion on potential Rangers takeover. Maybe you're a Rangers fan that's interested in Fenerbahce. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers after the break on what lies for them for the rest of the season after that defeat to Bayern Munich. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Scott Allen on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Andrew McLean. Remember, if you come on air and make a point, you'll be in with a chance to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day. No matter what you want to talk about, we had a bit of discussion about the potential Rangers takeover in the first hour of the show. Maybe it's more of that. Maybe it's Rangers against Fenerbahce you want to talk about, or Celtic fans, what have you made of just this week in general, and how do you look ahead to that game away to Hibs tomorrow? Robbie is a Celtic fan in Falkirk up next. Robbie, how are you feeling?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, panel. Yeah, I would just like to make the point. I'll make it to Cammy Bell. It's about Brendan Rodgers' contract situation surfaced at today's press conference. Cammy, he said in June or July 2023 that he was going to be here for the 3 years, no less. It was empty to the University of Laughlin when he said it. But I'm just wondering, you know, he did say that again just before Christmas. I can't mind if it was before a league game press conference or a Champions League game, but he did say, the way he said it was, I said at the start that I'll be here for 3 years, and I'm going to be here for 3 years. If he was to leave before that, go back in his word, and another club was to come in before his 3 years was up, I think there would be a bigger upcry than what happened the first time when he left, you know, whatever, it was February and that, and he left, it wasn't quite halfway through the season, there was only about maybe 10 games left or whatever there was, but there was a big upcry at how he left, and he never seen out to the end of the season. And if he was to leave, as I say, before the 3 years were up, he would be going back in his word. Cammy, I'm just wanting to just, I know he's not going to be here forever, right? But I'm just being realistic. See if we can get 5 years out of Brendan Rodgers, that would be him seeing his contract out and, you know, another couple of years on top of that. When managers are doing well, as you know, a lot of people just want managers to stay forever. It doesn't quite work like that. I'm just being realistic that I would like to see him here for 5 years. I would be happy with that, and I think that's for a shelf life for a Celtic manager is, you know, that's more than adequate. I'm just looking at how he set his teams up in the Champions League, and you know how well they've done in the group stages, and how well they pushed Bayern Munich. That Suter will be looking at his work that he's doing with Celtic and his previous work at Leicester. I'm just wondering if you can just generalise how your thoughts on his contract situation and how long you think he might be staying for, Cammy.
Robbie, I think Celtic fans at this moment in time should be delighted the way that Brendan Rodgers is going about his business. I think the progression in the club since obviously Ange had left, there was question marks with him coming back, but he, for me, he's taken the club on to another level again. I think the showing on Tuesday night just showed that Celtic can mix it with the big guns in European football. I think a lot of people were looking at Tuesday night and probably thinking, let's not go over there and get embarrass ourselves, but listen, they could have easily won that game on Tuesday. So I think if I'm in the Celtic boardroom, I'd be trying to get Brendan Rodgers tied down for longer, because I think he looks as if he's enjoying his work at the moment. He's left the club before. I don't think he'll leave in the 3 years. I certainly don't think he'll leave. I think he's really enjoying his work. He's enjoying being back in Scottish football. He's enjoying the project of trying to take Celtic to the next level. But again, coming along with that, the board need to back him. There'll be times when he's in the transfer market. He knows at the moment he's competing against European giants, which is really difficult financially. But if the board back him and give him money to find these gems that Celtic normally do, then I think he's happy where he is at the moment. So I don't think he's looking to leave. Yes, there's always this when a manager's doing well, his head can get turned, but I really don't see that at this moment in time.
Yeah, there's no suggestion to say that Brendan Rodgers is going anywhere anytime soon, but I remember being at Brendan Rodgers' first press conference back at Celtic. He was asked about his 3-year contract. Robbie mentioned it there. You know, the words he said, "I will be here for my 3 years unless I get emptied otherwise." He was very, very clear about that. Surely as a manager, you don't say something like that and then reiterate it, whether it was, 18 months on, if you don't intend to see out your contract.
No, just to echo what Cammy said there, I think he's in it for the long haul. He wants to take this Celtic side that he's developed since Ange's obviously went down to Tottenham to the next level. I think performances in Europe have massively improved. I think the biggest sign of that was obviously looking at the Dortmund game at the start of the campaign to then away to Bayern Munich, who obviously lead the Bundesliga, and it was a performance full of all different aspects of the game, defending, still being a threat, chances made, and back four and goalkeeper for me were outstanding, especially against some of the quality that Bayern Munich had. But you don't get that sort of performance if every man's not buying into what you're delivering on the training pitch. So for me, I'd be very surprised if Brendan Rodgers was to go.
Is that the hope, Robbie, that you look at the progression that the guys have talked about in the Champions League from last season to this season, even just across this season into the Bayern Munich game? If Brendan Rodgers can keep on building, if he's backed in the way that he hopes he's backed, that he'll feel at home at Celtic and he'll want to extend that contract beyond the 3 years?
Yeah, Andrew, I think that I like what he said when he actually, I think it was before the Bayern Munich press conference, that was Monday this week, he did say that, the way he said it was, I was maybe realistic the first time around where how I was getting backed. You know, I was maybe unrealistic with the expectations of what I thought the club could provide me with, was what he said. And that's absolutely fantastic that he's came out with that. He's now a wee bit more realistic in what the club can provide him regarding the transfer kitty. And that's absolutely fantastic for him to admit that he maybe got it wrong a wee bit the first time about how he was getting back, whether it was a John McGinn scenario with other signings. But I do think when he came back this time, I think he's told the board, that I want yous. I don't want to like say like what's his name, Michael Nicholson. I don't think he said anything like if a player, I'm wanting 15-20 million pound players, but I think he has said that if there's an asking price, if you can push the boat out for a certain player, whether it's, you know, the club are wanting an extra couple of million for a player, or there's wages involved, I think that he has said, I want the club to push the boat out as much as they can. You know, not too much. That's basically my point. I think he's put a wee bit of pressure on the board just to push the boat out a wee bit more on the transfer funds. You know what I mean?
Because Celtic have obviously invested. We've seen, you know, £9 million spent on Adam Ida, £11 million spent on Arnie Ingles. There's been other fees as well. But can Brendan Rodgers sort of build a case as well with how closely they ran Bayern Munich and say to the board, look, you know, if you keep just slightly investing more and more, this team can get stronger, the squad can get stronger, and Celtic maybe can break through that, you know, Champions League glass ceiling, get past the playoff round?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot easier to do that with the board when you're showing the types of performances on the pitch like they have, I think, in terms of asking the board to obviously put in more millions into these transfers. Like Adam Ida, Celtic probably overpaid for him because Norwich knew how much they needed a striker at the time. Same with Engels, probably overpaid a couple of million on what they paid for him. So that tells you that the board and the manager at this moment are working in tandem. They're trying to get the best for Celtic Football Club, and when they're having these conversations come summer for next season, there's the performances on the pitch, especially at that level against Bayern Munich, where Brendan Rodgers can say, well, look what happens when we invest and we work together, we can get these sort of performances. Can we up that? Yes, by maybe strengthening and paying a bit more in transfer fees for guys in different positions.
And we all know it works both ways. The further that Celtic get in these European Champions League stages, the more money that comes into the club. So again, that just offsets the conversation between Brendan Rodgers and the board of saying, look, I can take you further. I can actually bring more money into the club if you invest a little bit more. So yeah, I think it's working well at the moment for the club.
Well, thank you to Robbie. Let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. John, what are you thinking tonight?
Evening, guys. How are you? I was trying to go on since the last couple of weeks about Maeda. I don't know what boy's on about Brendan's contract, but I think Brendan will stay for at least 5 years this time. I think he will get back with the board. They already have backed him. But what do you think, Scott and Cammy, about Maeda getting on a better contract? Because it'll help Celtic too, you know what I mean? It'll save people, the Predators come in to get them for cheap money when we can put them on a better contract, because he deserves a better contract, and so it keeps other guys away from him. Just think he deserves it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, Maeda is the catalyst in this Celtic side. Obviously, we see how good he is at setting off the press, and obviously the goals and his assists that he's had to contribute to the side this season. I think the simple thing for Celtic is they do work off a basic wage structure, and they don't really like to come without that. So I think looking at Kyogo going, obviously with Jota coming back, Maeda is the one player who, for how Brendan Rodgers wants to play, he is the main catalyst. The pace, the power. I think you look at the game the other night again, 88th minute, still doing the running, still looks super, super fit. So for me, he would be one you'd want to tie down on a longer term contract. Whether that means paying more than what's out with their wage structure would be interesting, but I don't think you could turn your nose up at it because how much of an important player he is for Celtic.
Yeah, generally I think Celtic have been quite good of late at tying down their assets. Maybe Greg Taylor aside, obviously that one's dragging on with his contract up in the summer. But Dyson Maeda signed a new 4-year deal in the summer of 2023, so he's certainly got time left in his contract. But there's a lot more to it than that, of course. You know, if he then feels he's one of the, you know, the main men in the team, which he's proven to be over the last good while, then he might feel he deserves more, or he might be quite happy where he is. It's always kind of hard to tell from the outside looking in, isn't it?
Yeah, internally, I think Celtic will know that. As you say, they've been very, very good about protecting their assets, which I think is really important at a football club. And Celtic are a good example of a club who really do that, as you say, probably out with Greg Taylor. I can't remember many players leaving on a free contract at the end of their contract, just running out. So, yeah, I think there will be discussions behind the scenes. If he's wanting to stay longer, I think that Celtic will absolutely want to tie him down. But I think it's just where the player's at, what he sees his future as. Obviously, Kyogo kind of came out the blue and said that he wanted to move on. It was his decision. Celtic then cashed in on him. I think it's similar. Listen, Celtic want players that want to be at the club. Maeda, he's not shown signs of wanting away. So if he's wanting to stay, I would absolutely be getting him tied down, because when you tie him down in these long-term contracts, you know that you're just protecting that asset a little bit more, and you can ask for that little bit more money if somebody comes in for them.
John, where do you see his future on the pitch? Because he's obviously been a wide man for most of his time at Celtic, but with the way the January transfer window went, Kyogo leaving, Jota obviously coming in, do you think Maeda has more of a role to play as Celtic's central striker rather than a winger?
As Scott says there, he's just, he could play him in goals, probably. He could play the guy anywhere. Do you know what I mean? I would play him anywhere, but against Rangers, against Tav terrified him, as we know. I'd play him against James Tavernier, but then you could play him through the middle. That's always your option, you know what I mean? I think, as you said, but the guy's just, I mean, you actually get tired watching that guy, the amount of run he does. It's phenomenal. But see, can I just make an RV point, guys, before I talk about, I'm saying about putting goals? Just watch me, the family, Evan Williams, though, it digested. It's a shame that he played in goals for the Celtic, beating the 70 European Cup final. He passed away yesterday. Just thoughts for his family.
Yeah, well said, John. Thoughts go out to his family indeed. A sad, sad time, of course. But thank you to John, 01419511025. If you want to get involved, remember, if you do come on air and make a point, you will win or be in the chance of winning a VIP pair of tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day. We'll announce that later on, who the winner is. Just on that point I made to John on Daizen Maeda, it'll be good for Brendan Rodgers, obviously, to have his versatility. Has he just shown a bit more through the middle than he maybe hadn't done previously? Was he maybe a bit more inconsistent playing as a striker when we'd seen him in flashes, and now he's shown, in terms of his finishing, you know, a lot more confidence?
Yeah, listen, when your main striker leaves the club, you need to step up. That you get the opportunity to step up as well. That's what I've kind of, we said that potentially Adam Meader's going to have to step up to the plate. Maeda stepped up to the plate. So yeah, I think that the opportunity arises when your main striker steps away. You then know you're maybe going to get more of an opportunity to play that central role and be that central figure. And yeah, he's certainly taken it on.
For a guy like Maeda, it's the uneasy he puts in the opposition defence. Mm-hmm. There's not many players, especially in this country, who can press two guys at the same time, and he's definitely that. I think you see when he went to striker in the home leg against Bayern Munich, the kind of problems that he did cause. And then again, obviously, how Celtic started the game, he was a key aspect to that, because how well he does press and how often he can press. That is a physical aspect that you can't get in every player, and very hard to replace.
Well, Brendan Rodgers did his pre-match media today ahead of that game against Hibs tomorrow. He was reflecting on Celtic's dramatic exit from the Champions League a few days on.
What you look for in this game is respect. You'll come off the pitch and them guys will respect you for what you did over the couple of games, and these are guys that'll be challenging for maybe the Champions League itself. So for that, again, the disappointment was there, naturally, because of the nature of how the game ended. But no, I said to players, for us to be sat here feeling like this, it really shows how far you've come, really, because I looked in their eyes after the Dortmund game, and that was a real tough one. So we pushed on, and we went back to the hotel, we had a beer, and then got back to training the next day. They very rarely get the chance to do that. Very rarely get the chance. Don't worry, it wasn't a typical, maybe, Scottish night. It wasn't what you would consider. It was a nice, relaxed beer and a wine. And then we trained the next day, stayed overnight, trained the next day, and getting ready for Hibs. But it's very important that you can just reflect a little bit and relax and think about the moments within the game and the performance, but very quickly you have to move on.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Cammy Bell on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, ready to take your calls. 01419511025. 1025. Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement, shall we? Rangers, of course, getting drawn against Fenerbahce in the Europa League last 16 today. Philippe Clement asked about Jose Mourinho, who, of course, is the Fenerbahce manager. He says he respects Jose Mourinho for the trophies he's won in his career. However, the Belgian says he's not the biggest fan of his style of play.
There are different managers with different styles. He won a lot of trophies in a certain style. I like even more managers with another style, but the respect is there. It's about winning at the end. And he did that at several places with several teams and winning the biggest trophies that you can win in the world. So, it's normal to respect a lot somebody who did that. He's somebody who's more in the defensive and reacting out of that style. I prefer more the managers personally. The managers who go full in their attacking force and playing out of that. So, but incredible respect in the way he did it. That's just a personal preference.
That's exactly who you want to enter into mind games with, Jose Mourinho.
not a fan, is it?
It's definitely not a fan.
I mean, what do you make of that? Because it's not often that a manager will come out and say that, and whether it was ill-intentioned or not, possibly not, maybe he's just saying, you know what, he prefers managers that have an attacking style of play, and I prefer if managers aren't defensive, but maybe just a surprise that he came out and said that today.
I don't know why he's getting involved in it, to be honest. I think it's a very strange comment to make, because yes, the media are going to pick up on it, and everyone's going to start talking about it. Yes, it'll get fed over to Jose Mourinho. And listen, Jose Mourinho's won the top trophies, the top medals, which he did say, Clement mentioned there, referenced that he's got respect for him, but I don't think you need to engage in that type of chat there. Yes, you can just say you've got huge respect for him as a manager, but you don't need to go in depth. I think it's a very, very strange comment from him.
Because he initially mentioned that you heard the first answer where he talked about just, you know, his style that is maybe not his type of thing. And you did wonder whether he was maybe talking about, you know, because he's obviously quite bold, Mourinho, and he's very self-confident, whether it was that. And he was pushed on it by a journalist. And then that's when he came out and said, you know, it's his defensive style that he's not the biggest fan of.
Yeah, listen, that was pretty evident what his thoughts were in terms of how his football is. Obviously, with Philippe Clement as well, we're still struggling to find out what his style is, and in fairness, you know. So, and I think if you're looking at that defensive style that he's saying that Jose Mourinho does play, Rangers are better suited to teams who come out and play. If Fenerbahce are about to come to Ibrox, obviously in the second leg, and set their stall out and play in that low block, which a lot of people do associate with Jose Mourinho, it would be difficult for Rangers to break down. They've struggled to do it, obviously, domestically this season. So, just going back to the comment, I agree with what Cammy says, very strange thing to see. You could have avoided that whole palaver there very, very easily with just, I respect him for what he's won in his career, he's managed some big clubs, and then move on and concentrate on your own side.
It will be, I mean, if it is a typical sort of Jose Mourinho style, as Scott says, it will be a different type of European tie that Rangers are used to, and Rangers have been quite suited to playing against European clubs, so it'll be interesting to see how the styles match up.
Yeah, it will be. We know what Jose Mourinho's all about. He's about winning games of football. That's what he prides himself on. So, yeah, they probably will come up a little bit more defensive, be hard to break down, but obviously look to play in the counter-attack. So, and as Scotty says, we've seen Rangers really struggle against teams that play like that. So they're going to have to find a formula to break this Fenerbahce team down. It's going to be difficult, but they need to find a way to get through this tie.
Looking forward to seeing what Jose Mourinho's response is going to be to that. We'll find out maybe in a couple of weeks when the games are a bit closer. Let's speak to James, who's a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. James, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, guys. Good evening. It's 2 points. If Celtic got a bid in for Daisy Maeda in the region of 20 million, do you think we'll let him go in the summer?
What do you think?
That's our first point.
Yes. I think they do. Yeah, I think it's in the model. I think that's the way they work. I think they would. They might try and squeeze a little bit more out of it. But yeah, I think if there's a bid in that region, I think they'd be very tempted.
There maybe would be a point as well in Dyson Maeda's Celtic career that people would be surprised at talking around those figures. But it just shows the form that he's in at the moment. Maybe the way that he's adapted his game, the goals he's scored of late, that, you know, people like James are talking about those figures and what Dyson Maeda could potentially be worth to Celtic.
Yeah, he could potentially, because you're talking about the goals and assists, and you're talking about the work rate and his effect in a team, which we have seen how it's really worked for him at Celtic and with Brendan Rodgers since he came in. So yeah, it would be the sort of money I think Celtic would be looking for, considering how much of a key member of the squad he is.
What was your next point, James?
They're talking about Celtic's made improvement. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound strange. We lost 7 goals to Dortmund, and then we went to Atalanta, who were the best side in Italian football, top scorers, and we played really well. Now, we went to Aston Villa, and we were 2-0 down after 12 minutes, and then Alistair Johnston kicked one off the line. If that had him in, that was us 3 down after 15 minutes. This is about, I guess, have we learned the lesson? I don't think we have, because we can't afford to do that in Champions League games. So we played brilliant against Bayern. Most supporters, if they're honest, I thought we'd get thrashed 3-0 or 4-0. I was dreading it. But the more I got to watch it, it was good to see the boys went out for and just went for it. But we can't forget 7 goals to Dortmund and 4 to Aston Villa. So to me, the problem is central defence. I think we should buy 1 or 2 top quality centre defenders for the start of next season.
How tough is it to judge on those European games? Because, you know, some of the teams that James is mentioning, you're talking about players who are worth 30, 40, 50 plus million. There were some games where Celtic didn't do so well. Borussia Dortmund, you would maybe not just put that down to the centre-backs. They were just striding through Celtic's midfield as if they weren't there. But then you look at the Atalanta game where Cameron Carter-Vickers, who I think most people would accept as Celtic's best centre-back, wasn't even there. And they put in a great defensive performance. So is it quite tough to judge against that level? Because sometimes they can cut you open. Is it about more than just the central defensive pairing?
Yeah, and I think obviously Celtic were already basically guaranteed that they were qualifying at that time as the Aston Villa game came up. I think the biggest one was, yes, Dortmund. To come on off the back of a result that heavy against that quality of team, that can leave a mental side for the rest of the campaign, and it didn't. And I think you've seen that Aston Villa performance. There was a lot of good defensive displays. There was and still carried a threat. And then to go away to Bayern Munich, no matter how you see it, and that was, you're talking 6 months of difference with that Borussia Dortmund game. That is improvement. To go there, wasn't a game, it wasn't like a group stage game of before, it was a knockout game against Bayern Munich, which a competition which they would put high in terms of priorities as a club. So for Celtic to go out there, defend how they defended, still carry a threat, score a goal, be in it up until the last kick of the ball, that is improvement for me.
Is centre back an area that is a desperate need for Celtic, would you say, Cammy?
I wouldn't say desperate need. If there's quality there that they can get within their budget, of course, it's an area they will look at. But I think if they can keep Cameron Carter-Vickers fit for a full season, then that absolutely helps them. That keeps them strong because he is their best centre-back.
A lot of games they play.
Yeah, no, yeah, they do play a huge amount of games. But yeah, listen, as Scotty says, you can't just look at the centre-back pairing on when you get a heavy defeat. It's the whole team you look at, and certainly the improvement, the pressure they had to withstand on Tuesday night, and they stood up and were counted for, along with their goalkeeper as well. So I think if there's an opportunity, yes, they would look at it, but I don't think they'll be desperate.
Well, thank you to James. Let's squeeze in Ronan in Kirkintilloch. Ronan, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
I'll tell you what my point is. I was just going back to the whole 3 years thing with Brendan Rodgers, I have no doubts at all, and I think every Celtic fan's the same, in the sense of he will carry out his 3 years. He's made that. I know he made these promises before, but I think even he himself knows this time that if he was to do that, he would just damage everything he's done, and he's just started to build up his reputation, and his fans are starting to be back on his side. But for me, it's to do with after the 3 years. I think Celtic are capable of holding on to him beyond the 3 years and signing a new contract, and I think he would be happy to do it. But I don't just think it's a matter of giving him whatever number he wants and offering him the contract. I think it's more than that for Brendan Rodgers. I think that the board also have to back him to convince him to stay as well. Otherwise, I think it could just fall into the same stage as it did the last time he left. If he's not backed, he'll feel that he's taken the players as far as he can and the team as far as he can, and that's why he left. Whereas now we're starting to back him, and we can see the progress, as it's been discussed tonight, that Celtic have made. So I think it's not just about giving him the number he wants in a new contract. I also think it's to do with the fact that the board have to back him up if they want to continue this project.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers has maybe had a change of mindset? A previous caller brought it up. The fact that he said, you know, after the January transfer window or towards the end of it, he said, you know, I'm not here to fall out with myself and fall out with other people over transfers anymore. Is it maybe different this time that Brendan Rodgers has just accepted where Celtic are and that the backing might not match exactly what he's after, but he is, you know, more realistic about what Celtic can do going forward?
Yeah, well, he has said that. I think the most important thing was the other night after the Bayern Munich game when he spoke about how he wants to take this team to the next level. There's no doubts for me that the board will be having that same sort of thoughts, especially after seeing how the performances have been this year. So for me, I think the progression is, yes, improving certainly it is. Will he be backed? I think so, come summer. I think they'll see, obviously, that Rangers are obviously striding to try and get closer. Celtic will obviously be looking to strengthen. We've seen time and time again, window after window, Celtic bringing players in for not huge fees and turning them into real players. Obviously, Nicholas Kuhn being one of them, Maeda, Doug, you go through the list of them. So for me, I think Brendan Rodgers and the board this time round are in a completely different headspace to the way when Brendan Rodgers left the first time round.
Well, a good point, Ronan, but we are late for this, so let's play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either Scott Allen or Cammy Bell on Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is phone 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock, and it could be you against one of these two.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second hour of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Scott Allen and Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean. There's some action on the go tonight. Scotland's women have been defeated, a 1-0 loss to Austria in their opening Nations League game. There is a Championship game later on as well, Morton against Falkirk. Loads of games across the weekend, so any thoughts on those? 0141 951 1025. We've been talking about Rangers' potential takeover, Fenerbahce in the Europa League, Celtic in their progress that they made in the Champions League this campaign, back to domestic action this weekend. Maybe you're a Motherwell fan that's interested in Michael Vimmer's first game tomorrow. 0141 951 1025. But first of all, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Either of you here last night's Beat the Pundit, Gordon DL went to a tiebreaker and the caller got it bang on. The number of red cards I've had in the Scottish Premiership this season, I think it was 32. Gordon DL then accusing the caller of using A1 because he's only ever seen AI written down and had no idea that it was actually AI for artificial intelligence. A1. An old boy band instead. That's what he used to get it. But we'll see if tonight's caller is as successful or whether they've got any artificial intelligence on their side. Callum is a Falkirk fan up next. Callum, how are you feeling?
Good, thanks. Yourself, Andrew?
All good. Who's going to do better, you or Falkirk away at Morton tonight?
Hopefully Falkirk away at Morton.
That's fair. He'll take 3 points for his team rather than a win over either of these two and Beat the Pundit. But you know what? You don't have to choose, Callum. You can have both. So we will flip a coin to see who it's going to be. It will be heads for Cammy Bell, tails for Scott Allen. And it is heads for Cammy Bell. How's your recent form,
terrible.
Cammy?
Terrible. You're in with a chance, Callum.
I'll say the two of you are right down there, by the way, when it comes to the league table. Out of 13 pundits that have played this season, Scott, you're 11th. Cammy, you're 12th.
Relegation.
Who's 13th?
Ross McCaw. How you fancy your chances, Callum?
I think it's a volume of games, isn't it?
Got a lot of respect for Cammy, so...
Thanks, Callum.
Fingers crossed.
There we go. That's nice. Sometimes it's fighting talk, but maybe he's more of a lover than a fighter, Cal. Aye. We'll see how that works out for him. Right, we will make sure that Cammy has some greatest hits radio in his ear and he cannot hear us. Callum, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. And remember, you can pass as well to save yourself a bit of time. Ready to go?
Yes, go for it.
Let's do it. Name any Scottish Premiership team with an American owner.
St Johnston.
Gustav Lagerbielka is currently on loan from Celtic to which club?
Pass.
Which SWPL side's nickname is the original Trailblazers?
Pass.
Who do Partick Thistle face tomorrow?
Airdrie.
How many teams in the Scottish Premiership name starts and ends with the same letter?
B.
What was the last club Michael Vimmer managed before being appointed Motherwell manager?
First of Vienna.
Okay, right. Are you back with us,
back,
Cammy?
Have we got back. You?
Good stuff. Right, let's go. Cammy Bell, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do it. Name any Scottish Premiership team with American owners.
St Johnson.
Gustav Lagerbielka is currently on loan from Celtic to which club?
Pass. Twente.
Which SWPL side's nickname is the original Trailblazers?
Pass.
Who do Partick Thistle face tomorrow?
Airdrie.
How many teams in the Scottish Premiership name starts and ends with the same letter?
Four.
What was the last club Michael Vimmer managed before being appointed?
Austria and Vienna.
How do you think it went, Cal?
It's pretty close, I think. Whoa. I think Cammy's maybe just picked me by one.
Tell you what, it was close. I think there were sort of a couple of tough questions in there as well.
I stumbled for a while.
You were flapping. You also will get to the second question as well. Name any Scottish Premiership team with American owners. You both went for St Johnston. You're both correct. You could have also said Dundee United or Hibs.
I was going to say Hibs and then
couldn't believe
I was going to, but then I questioned myself.
Yeah, both went for St Johnston, so it's 1-1. Gustav Lagerbielka is currently on loan from Celtic to which club? Callum passed. You also passed. You got the right answer in the end, but I've got to take your first answer.
Okay.
You passed. So it remains 1-1. Which SWPL side's nickname is the original Trailblazers? Neither of you got it. Glasgow City.
Yep.
And all those league titles. Glasgow City. So it remains 1-1. Who do Partick Thistle face tomorrow? You both got it. Of course, Callum was going to get it. A fan of a championship club. Cammy, you got it as well. Airdrie, so it's 2-2. This was a tough one. How many teams in the Scottish Premiership's name starts and ends with the same letter? Callum went for 3. Cammy went for 4. We've got Celtic, Kilmarnock, Dundee United, and that's it. Callum takes the lead. He goes 1 ahead. What was the last club Michael Vimmer managed before being appointed Motherwell manager? You both went Austria Vienna, but it means Callum wins by 1. Well done, Callum.
Well done, Callum. Double still on, mate.
Yeah, good game, Cammy. Good game.
There we go. Sign ball will go to Callum. You looking forward to tonight's game, Callum?
Hopefully we can start picking up a wee bit of momentum and get back where we were at the start of the season.
Yeah, the championship is looking interesting. We were just mentioning it off air there. Morton in really good form as well. Good job Dougie Emery's doing there at the moment. So it's getting
the last team to beat them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's looking, I mean, they're obviously still a wee bit off that top three who have pulled away a bit, Cammy, but you know, with Partick Thistle obviously, you know, now in transition of their management team as well, there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in the championship.
It's a big one tonight for Morton, certainly. If they're wanting to push towards that playoff, they can make some ground up, obviously, playing tonight. They'll want to try and get 3 points on the board, but as you said, they're in really good form. It's a big game for Falkirk as well, because they're obviously at the top trying to put that distance between themselves and Ayr United. So it'll be a really interesting game, because Morton are in great form and Falkirk are a fantastic team to watch as well.
Are you a wee bit more or less confident about Falkirk's chances of getting that automatic spot at the moment, Callum, than you were maybe a couple of months ago?
I wouldn't say more optimistic. I would say that, you know, it's been a tough run of games. You know, we've played Ayr and Livingston both in the last sort of 3 games, so we've really just got to try and get back and pick up points against your teams that are out with that top three and try and cement the place. And as you say, you know, if we get 3 points tonight, it puts a wee bit of pressure on Ayr and Livingston to play each other tomorrow. Yeah. So that's all we can really do, is look after ourselves. And
yeah, those are the tricky ties, those Friday night away at Morton. Tough one for the players.
It's a bit windy
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, it was pretty windy a few weeks ago when Morton's after stand blew away as well.
Yeah. No, that's a difficult tie, obviously, for Falkirk tonight. But I've seen a lot of them this season. I agree with Cammy. I think they play, obviously, football the way I like to see. I think their midfield, obviously, Dylan Tate, Arfield, Spencer as well, they're as free as good as you'll get in the championship for me. So, listen, there'll be no doubts about it. The Falkirk players know how big a game this is. It sets them up for the next couple of weeks. And it also is as Callum says, it puts the pressure on Aaron Livingston getting into tomorrow.
Yeah, just finally, Callum, a word on Scott Arfield and his return and what he's done for Falkirk in his short time back at the club.
Absolute hero. You know, he always said that he wanted to come back, and he couldn't have asked for a better homecoming, scoring a hat-trick, and then followed it up on Saturday there by getting his goal against Derry. Rescue the point, if you like. So he's always, when I first started going to watch Falkirk, he was just coming through, and he's always been a sort of hero in my eyes, and a lot of respect for him. And, you know, as he said himself, hopefully he can get Falkirk back to the Premiership where we belong.
I imagine there's probably quite a lot of players that would like to go back where it all started for them, and, you know, after years of going elsewhere, maybe to bigger clubs, and then being able to help the team that basically sort of gave them their start in football, but obviously doesn't work out that way a lot of the time. This is a really good opportunity for Scott Arfield, because he's got a big affection for Falkirk and the position they're in at the moment and the quality he's got. He'll be hoping it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like a little bit of a dream for both of them, because I think Scott Arfield's still an absolute top player, and for Falkirk to get a hold of him when they're in the Championship, I think it's a real coup. So yeah, I think for both sides of it, Scott's obviously going there where, as you say, it's where he started his career and has real fond memories of it. So I really do think that he's hoping that he can take them back into the top flight.
Well, thank you to Callum. Enjoy the game tonight and that signed ball that will be on the way. Let's stick with the phones. Andy is a Celtic fan in Broxburn. How are you, Andy?
Hi, mate. I'm not too bad.
Got you loud and clear. What are you thinking tonight?
I was just wondering, like, I'm probably more asking Scott's opinion. Does he think Callum McGregor is a better captain than Scott Brown, considering where Celtic have went to?
What a question that is, Scott. Good luck.
It's hard to say. I think when they're both completely different type of footballers, first and foremost. I think in terms of how Celtic are playing and obviously on the front foot, I think Callum McGregor in that position is better in terms of playing through the lines. I think this is so hard when I'm actually thinking about that. But then when you look at what Scott Brown brought to Celtic, obviously over all the years, and he sort of leadership, which is, I've obviously shared the changing room with both of them, is completely different to Callum's. But what Scott Brown done really well was reading the game very, very well. I think he trained every day, like 100%, one of the best I've seen obviously in my career, who every day brought the same sort of attitude, and it was infectious throughout the group. So I think you're probably better suited. You've watched obviously best both players, captain your side. What do you think, looking at the both of them, who do you think's had more of effect in terms of the team?
I think Scott Brown was like an unbelievable football player. Was more of the kind of hard man role. But I personally think Callum McGregor's a more technically gifted player. Yeah. Out of the two of them, easily. I don't really know. I was just wondering, obviously, because you're on the night, I thought, you've played with the pair of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my point, Andy. I think they both bring different things to a side.
Are they quite hard to compare then? Because obviously, stylistically, on the pitch, they are quite different players. But in terms of personalities as well, they're very different players as
Completely different personalities. But I think it just shows you in that position, whether you're the same type of player or not, you can both be successful, which they both have been. I think Callum McGregor, for me, technically, was when I first went to Celtic, was one which not everybody spoke about how good he was on the ball until he obviously got that run of the team. The fact that you had a side with Scott Brown and Callum McGregor, you've seen how successful that was. But for Callum McGregor, when you talk about personality and to step into Scott Brown's shoes and do what he's done for this for Celtic, I think is admirable, and he deserves a lot of credit for that.
I remember on this show when Scott Brown was leaving Celtic and Callum McGregor, it was announced that he was taking over the captaincy, that from some supporters anyway, that there were maybe some question marks about whether Callum McGregor could continue on the work that Scott Brown had done. And maybe that was because we talk about the differences between the two players, but it ended up being quite seamless, didn't it? The transition, obviously playing alongside Scott Brown for so long and then taking on that mantle.
And that's probably full credit to both of them again, because as you say, playing and being in the same environment, the same team, Callum have learnt a lot off of Scott Brown as well throughout his career, and being in the changing room, being about the club with such an influential captain. And he's came on and as you say, seamlessly taken on that, which is a huge responsibility at a big club with loads of pressure on it as well. So he's done that seamlessly. So, and he's influential in a different way. Scott Brown was more the visual one on the pitch, where again it was the aggression and again driving his team. But Callum McGregor drives his team through his standards, and I think that's what he does differently. They're two different types of player, but I think, yeah, listen, they both follow each other. They're both fantastic captains.
Yeah, Andy, just generally about Celtic, obviously the heartbreak on Tuesday night. You get no doubts tomorrow that, you know, the motivation is back there, despite the fact that Celtic obviously have a big lead at the top of the Premiership, that the club will be going out there and showing their strongest at Easter Road.
I think what it is like, see, after Tuesday, obviously, I imagine there'll maybe be 5-6 changes. And maybe, like I said, Alstair and Luke McCowan and all that all kind of come in. But, like, they're boys that are for domestic football. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad players, because they're not. But it's like, I have a feeling that a lot of these boys will make a showing up at Hibs tomorrow, and they'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I've seen all season, after the European games, Brendan Rodgers tends to make 5 or 6 changes, and the boys always come in and be all right. Do you know what I mean? And I wouldn't mind sitting on the Celtic bench. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't bother me.
That's it. Celtic have this squad that's built for, you know, European football in terms of having those games, whether it's, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday. And now when you've only got domestic football, it means that Brendan Rodgers maybe has quite a bit of juggling to do, or maybe a bit more in the way of squad management, where it could be tougher, because does he just go and play what he thinks is his best 11, or is it going to be week to week? I know there's a midweek card next week, but it's not going to be the same every single week. But does it become a bit more complicated for him in the next few months?
Yeah, I think for me, the players that have come in, especially after the European games, have done well. Luke McCowan been one for me. He's waited his time, he's come in, he's impacted games, so there's lots of positives there. I think it's as good a squad Celtic have had in years in terms of guys coming in to replace what you would say is their starting 11. I think tomorrow is an interesting game, because Hibs are now, I think, 12 games unbeaten in all competitions. It's not going to be one where Hibs are just going to come and roll over. So Hibs obviously looking a side eye as well, that Scottish Cup tie coming up as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he sets up tomorrow. I think Hibs are a different side to the one which came earlier on the season. But for me, Celtic, just too much quality. That's throughout the starting 11 and the guys that have been coming in off the bench after European games.
Would you expect changes tomorrow, Cammy?
Some changes, yeah. I think there might be 3 or 4 changes tomorrow. But again, the guys that are getting changed out will be on the bench. So it's the beauty that Celtic have at this moment in time, that they've got real quality that can start the game and also leave quality on the bench. But I think it's interesting you saying about the European stuff and not as many games between now and the end of the season. This is where Brendan Rodgers, again, it becomes more difficult as a manager, because you can't rotate as much, because you obviously want to keep momentum going. But I think this is where we'll see him, why he's a top manager. All the players want to play. If you get the opportunity, you've got to be at 100%. You've got to show that quality on the pitch. So, yeah, I think they're in a good place, but they want to keep the full momentum going for the full season.
Thank you to Andy. He is in the hat for a pair of Virgin Bet Air Race Day tickets, VIP tickets. Those are as well. All you need to do to get in the hat is get on air and make a point tonight. You could be up next, 0141 951 1025, and we'll get a teaser for these two set up as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Cammy Bell will be waiting for you. And if you get on air and make a point, you could be in the hat to win a pair of VIP tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Race Day that we will announce later on. Let's set up a teaser for you two, shall we, before we get back to the phones. This one is from Bob in Shettleston. He says, can you name the top 8 English Championship scorers since the 2009-10 season who have also played for either Celtic or Rangers at any point in their career?
Can I give you one?
Go for it.
Martin Wycorn.
Martin Wycorn, correct. Strong start.
Josh Windass.
Josh Windass is also there. I think he's got about 10 this season, does he? That was after, remember there was the talk, Pedro Caixinha was trying to bring him to Santos during the January transfer window, and it fell through and they signed Neymar instead.
There's a guy I would have loved to have seen in Brazil.
Any more? You've got Martin Wycorn, Josh Windass. Can you name the top eight championship scorers since the 2009-10 season who have also played for either Celtic or Rangers? So just generally in terms of goal scorers, doesn't need to be in a one particular season.
I've got one, but I forgot his name. Played for Rangers striker, the Warburton.
It's not Martin Wycorn, is it?
No, I think he ended up playing for Wigan as well.
Not sure about that, no. You know what, I'll leave you to it to think about it. You've got two so far. We will revisit that shortly. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is a Hearts fan in Livingston. Chris, how are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
How you doing? Aye, no bad. No bad, thanks.
What have you got for us tonight, Chris? What's on your mind?
Basically, tonight, I just want to discuss yet another disgraceful performance from the officials last weekend at Tynecastle. I see today the SFA have came out and said that we should have had a penalty for the push on James Wilson. I'm not surprised because it was clear and obvious a penalty, as you'll see, and two hands into the back, absolutely no attempt to play the ball. Thing is, it's not good enough. It's simply not good enough, eh? The score was 1-1 at that point. We could have went on 1-2-1, and then like we were by far the better side, eh? And like I'm remembering the big scream that was made up in the League Cup final when Rangers had a penalty denied that they should have gotten. The SFA came out and apologised and said it was inconceivable how it had happened, and then the next week they made exactly the same error again in the Hearts-Ross County game with James Penrice. He should have had a penalty in the exact same set of circumstances. Like, how can you possibly do that after the huge fuss that had been made over the Rangers game the week before?
Yeah, I think, one thing to sort of differentiate between us, it was the KMI panel today, which is sort of, the Scottish FA used them as a sort of independent regulator to show that essentially they're not policing themselves. But the Scottish FA, as you say, have come out themselves at times and apologised for decisions. We'll need to wait until the next proper Scottish FA review, if that's one of the ones that comes up for Willie Collum, to talk about it and, you know, say his view as the head of refereeing and how he feels it should have been dealt with. But Chris is right, the KMI panel have come out today and said that Hearts should have had a penalty for that push from Clinton Enciala on James Wilson.
Yeah, listen, I can see Chris's point of view. I can see why he's very frustrated as well. For me, it probably was a penalty when I seen it back and at the time. And again, it's a game that if you're a Hearts fan, you feel as if you're well within the game. We know that the scoreline probably didn't really reflect the game overall. It was very close. Hearts had a good number of opportunities. So yeah, I can see his frustration, but again, we've seen it quite a lot this season. There has been a number of mistakes. Obviously, the SFA have had to come out and admit a number of mistakes. So Willie Collum's in behind the scenes trying to make it better. Whether it's getting better, that's up to everyone to have their own opinion on that. But yeah, I can see his frustration, especially at that point in the game when Chris says it is 1-1. He will be frustrated as a Hearts fan.
When you look into the sort of written reasons from the KMI panel, it says that it was a majority 3-2. So three of the five thought that it should have been a penalty. Two didn't think it should have been a penalty, which shows that certainly the people in the KMI panel that were shown it were split, that they feel, you know, overall it was a contentious decision. Does that make it harder, Scott? Because I think I remember on Sky at the time, the game was obviously shown on Sky. I think Chris Sutton, James McFadden, Chris Boyd were in the studio. None of them were overly convinced that it should have been a penalty. So is there enough debate there that maybe shows that potentially you can see why, if it's a clear and obvious error that maybe VAR didn't get involved, but you've got the other side of it. Should it have just been given at the time by the referee and VAR shouldn't have had to intervene?
Yeah, I think the way to look at it in terms of Chris's point of view is it doesn't make it any easier whether they came out or not. I think Hearts obviously looking to push themselves into that top six and cement that would have been a big turning point in the game, which would have gave them the impetus to go on and win the game, because their performance overall in the game for me was good, out with the unfortunate own goals. But listen, it doesn't make it any easier. I think we do see throughout the season that team by team they'll be on the end of a bad decision. It's just the thing that we talk about all the time, consistency. We're looking for consistency with decisions, and that's why week after week, it's whether it's one team or another, there's fans phoning in, obviously speaking about these decisions, because when the season comes to a close, these can have impacts on whether teams qualifying for Europe, teams on relegation playoff spots, teams going down. There's a lot riding on this, so the sooner we can get to a common ground where the consistency is there, the better for Scottish football.
Does that make it more frustrating, Chris, when you look at the performance your team put in against Rangers, the fact that, you know, certainly could have been two or three goals up maybe in that first half?
Well, that's exactly it. Like, obviously, like, we should have had the game wrapped up by that point anyway, the chances that we missed in the first half. So I'm not saying that's the reason we didn't win the game, but it's just annoying when, obviously, I don't understand how anybody can look at that and think it isn't a penalty, to be honest. I mean, when you watch it, the ball's played into the box, and it's two hands into the back. He's not made any attempt to get the ball. He's just pushed him over, like, simply, like, two hands. You see the arm movement, and he goes down. And, like, to me, like, when you look at the penalty that was given for Rangers against Queen's Park the week before, like, if that's a penalty, how is the James Wilson one not a penalty?
Mm-hmm. That's the consistency we're speaking about. Again, that's what makes it even more infuriating for, obviously, fans paying their money and looking to see their team come away with a win, or at least hypothetically at that time Hearts would have been strong favourites to go on and win the game. But listen, it's week in, week out, that's the biggest thing, is consistency, and until we see that, we're going to have frustration from all sets of fans at times.
There probably are just question marks hanging over the KMI panel, because, you know, a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago, was it, that Dundee United came out and essentially, you know, withdrew, yep, their representation and their support for the KMI panel and asked for, you know, reform on VAR. So it is clear that there are certainly at least one club, if not more clubs out there, that maybe feel there does need to be change on that, because does it muddy the water potentially when you've got maybe the KMI panel? Not, I'm not saying it's going to happen in this instance, but if you've got the KMI panel maybe saying one thing, but Willie Collum coming out and saying something else.
But the KMI panel is just an opinion, so it's made up, I think, of ex-players, coaches, managers, representatives from clubs and stuff. So again, it's only an opinion.
Have you done it before?
I done it last season, actually. Yeah, I did do it last season. So, and again, it's opinion, and as you say, that one's a split decision. So, yeah, some people see things differently. But I think,
see when you were doing that, Cammy, yes, was there a lot of split decision opinion on most of the decisions, or was there times where you came away going, everybody?
No, there was absolutely times when we all came away in agreement, and I think that's the ones that are stonewallers that the referees got completely wrong, and it's quite hard to understand how they've came to that decision on the day, especially when you've got VAR there as well backing you up. So I think there's certainly a lot that we looked at last season that are split decisions and are really difficult to, again, it's my opinion might be different from somebody else's. So yeah, it is quite difficult, as you say there. That one split from 3-2, so they were obviously having different sort of opinions on that decision in the Hearts game.
Just generally on Hearts at the moment, the impact that Neil Critchley has had, how are you feeling in the direction Hearts are going, Chris?
Oh, absolutely brilliant, just now, to be honest. Like, Scott was 100% right in what he said there. Obviously, like, we're going for third position now. So, obviously, like, to where we were sitting a few months ago, when people were talking about, is there a possibility we could be relegated? And now we're talking about, we've got a real good fighting chance to get in third. We need to be picking up every single point that we can, and decisions like that just really don't help it, eh?
Yeah, it's quite strange to look at where Hearts are at the moment, because the results, when you look at the sort of league table since Neil Critchley came in, I think Hearts are maybe up in sort of third, fourth position. But just because it is so tight in there and teams are taking results off of each other, Hearts do sit in ninth place at the moment, which is not where Hearts want to be. But if they continue to get results and maybe be in that upwards trajectory that supporters think they are, then they could easily find themselves fighting amongst, you know, Hibs, Dundee United, Aberdeen for that third spot.
Absolutely. They've been on a brilliant run up till, obviously, the game against Rangers at the weekend. They were putting a real run of form together. And maybe when the manager first came in, there wasn't that consistent bounce. It was up and down a little bit, but they found a real consistent bit of form at the moment. And again, the weekend's a big game for them against St Johnstone. They play, I think it was on Sunday, so that's a huge game for them. They need to get back on to winning ways, because as you say, if they want to push into that sort of European challenge in sports, then they need to continuously win games between now and the end of the season.
Dennett McInnes was speaking earlier on this week just about not really remembering a time where the table was so tight. He said that, I think Kilmarnock have obviously won their last two games, they're in 7th place on 31 points, but the teams above them are within touching distance, the teams below them are within touching distance of them, that things can turn around so quickly that if you do manage to pick up a couple of wins and make that three and make that four and go on an unbeaten run, then you can really find yourself in the mix.
Yeah, you can really give yourself a real chance. I think the strange thing this year is from week to week you can either move up or move down two, three positions. We've not seen that in a long time. So I think for all the clubs out with Celtic, Rangers, obviously Aberdeen, Dundee United and Hibs all round about as well, there's a lot of movements for the team who can put the best run together to give us a real chance and momentum. Obviously, I think from now up until the split, we're going to see from week to week a lot of changes, and it'll be some of the games just before will be huge for some of the clubs.
Just finally, Chris, on Lawrence Shankland's position, obviously his contract's up at the end of the season. I think at one point it maybe looked as if he was almost guaranteed to be leaving the club. Does it maybe look a more realistic option that he could extend his stay at Hearts?
I think so, to be honest, yeah. I was really surprised that he didn't sign the contract that we offered him last time, because obviously he's getting a bit older now, and obviously I hope he does sign, because I feel like since we saw him play alongside Elton Kabanga, it's really sort of brought the player that was there a couple of seasons ago out of him last season. So I'm hoping that he does sign.
Yeah, how do you see it going for him? Because as I said, it maybe looked at a time that this would be the end of his Hearts career this summer, but just with the way things have gone, obviously maybe he hasn't scored as many goals this season as he would have wanted to, but in terms of his general form and what he's been doing in link-up play, he's been impressing in recent weeks and months under Neil Critchley.
Yeah, listen, he's a key player for Hearts, and again, it's interesting because again, obviously he's had a little injury, he's not quite hit the numbers that he was hitting last season, so will that play into Hearts' favour of trying to keep him? Potentially, there might not be the amount of offers that he was potentially looking at or options elsewhere that he was looking at, so it might play into Hearts' hands that they can actually keep him long term, so it'll be interesting few weeks ahead anyways.
Thank you to Chris. Let's speak to John, who's in Coat Bridge. John, what have you got for us tonight? What are you thinking?
How are we doing, Bod? How's things?
All good.
Hey, so you had a caller on earlier on, slagging off Callum McGregor. So my point of view on this,
I don't think he was slagging off Callum McGregor, was he? Was he not saying, he was just asking Scott whether he thinks that, you know, how does he compare to Scott Brown and who's the better captain?
To me, Callum McGregor, absolutely. For what he's done, how he's been, and his Scott Brown was fantastic. He really was. But from where Callum McGregor is now to what he was, you can't take that away.
What do you think tips that argument then, John? Because Scott and the previous caller were kind of torn, couldn't really make their mind up.
Scott Brown carried Celtic through probably a difficult time in Scotland where Rangers weren't there. And he carried us profoundly through it all. And we were on track to get 10. We never got 10. We got 9. Callum McGregor was obviously the captain at the final eight stages of that. It's just, I think Callum McGregor is going to carry us on to the second stage of where Celtic should be, as Brendan Rodgers carries us further on. But my biggest issue is where we're going to be after the summer. The summer is, we're probably going to lose some big players. Are we going to get the financial backing from the board? But Callum McGregor's going to stay. He's there.
In terms of that financial backing, John, is Celtic's recent business, does that not give you confidence that, you know, Brendan Rodgers will be back? Do you look at the money that was spent on Arne Engels, you look at the money that was spent on Adam Ida, Jota coming back as well, which I think a lot of Celtic fans wouldn't have expected to happen. And Kieran Tierney, of course.
Confident, yes. But when you lose a team, which I expect Celtic to lose. So,
is that Nicholas Kuhn you said there, John?
Nicholas Kuhn, possibly Maeda, and also Hatate. There's every possibility when it comes to the summer, after the week's game that we've had, that we're probably going to lose three of our big names.
It's the bonus now, for Celtic, Scott, is that Celtic have had it in previous times where they have lost big players, but they're in such a strong financial footing at the moment. They're not forced to sell. If there are clubs that come in and want these players, that they'll be able to drive a hard bargain. And at that point, if Celtic do, then, you know, a club does hit the price that they want for a certain player, they'll then have money to spend to replace these players.
Yeah, no question. I think you can see that over the recent business that Celtic have done in the windows, that they have done that, they have replaced it. But haven't heard much of Matt Riley, considering how much of an impact he had on the Celtic side last year. Engels obviously starting to fulfil that potential and that expectation that the Celtic fans were looking at when he first came in. Some really top performances over the last few weeks against really good sides in Europe for sure. So I think for me, yes, Celtic could lose one or two, but there's no question they'll have guys who they've already spotted and will look to bring them in if that was to be done. But that won't be done unless they get the money which they think they deserve for the players that they have developed over the last few years.
It just all comes down to recruitment as well, Cammy, doesn't it? Because you may sell your best players and you know players may want to move on, but if you can get that recruitment right, then Celtic have shown that at times, as Scott says, you know, it's not as if Celtic fans have been crying out saying we've been missing Matt O'Riley this season.
Listen, there's a long list of players that Celtic have moved on that at the time seemed really influential and are vitally important to them. But if the right money comes in, then they do the business and they move them on. But that's what I said before. It's all about protecting your assets, making sure you've got long-term contracts on these people, because that's ultimately how you drive a hard bargain. Because if these guys are tied down on long-term deals, you don't need to sell them. The ball's in your court. If the right bid comes in, then you move them on. It's again, you remember Juranovic moved on at right back, Alistair Johnson coming. I could see Alistair Johnson moving on at some point for big money. I think he's a fantastic footballer, a real athlete in that right back area. So, yeah, listen, you could name a lot of Celtic players that could move on. It's probably important that Celtic don't sell too many. I think that's the key, that they pick and choose who they sell. But I'm pretty sure they're working behind the scenes just now to recruit players to replace these potential ones that will move on.
Well, thank you to John. Bit of work to do on this teaser. If you want to test the pundits on these, you can email yours to fulltime@clyde1.com. Bob from Shettleston has emailed this one in. Can you name the top eight English Championship scorers since 2009-10 season who have also played for one of Celtic or Rangers any point in their career? You've already got Martin Waghorn and Josh Windass.
Daryl Murphy
is a good shout.
Did Gary Hooper?
Gary Hooper as well. Right, you've got four more to go. We'll get those after the break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But do not worry, that is not your fix for the weekend over. We will be here for 6 hours tomorrow, 12 until 6, with that early kickoff, Hibs against Celtic, and then plenty of 3 o'clock kickoffs to bring you. There is some action that's underway now. Morton against Falkirk, just coming up for 2.5 minutes in. Early chance for Falkirk as well. Was it Calvin Miller hit the side netting, I think? So yeah, decent start for them.
Yeah, they looked bright. They're in control of the game so far. Obviously, it's early doors. But certainly controlling the ball, moving it well. And as we know, Falkirk like to play good football, like to play at pace as well. So they'll be trying to get that early goal, that early breakthrough.
Yeah, they've just put one over the top for Scott Arfield, who has put a shot into the stand at Capello. Right, a bit of work to be done on this teaser. You can email yours fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the top eight English Championship scorers since 2009-10 season who have also played for either Celtic or Rangers? We have so far Daryl Murphy, Martin Waghorn, Gary Hooper, Josh Windass.
Tom Lawrence.
Good shout.
Ross McCormack.
Super Scoreboard's very own Ross McCormack. Should have got that one straight away, surely, after you were both slagging his Beat the Pundit record during one of the breaks.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can improve that next week. Let's have a look at some of tomorrow's action, shall we? Because there are a lot of interesting games. Of course, Hibs Celtic, we've talked about that, is the early kickoff. Interested to see how Motherwell get on tomorrow away to Dundee United, because new manager, and it's a manager that is not in that sort of Scottish football merry-go-round that people talk about, not someone that people are really aware of at all. And Michael Vimmer, he's come in, he's made that statement that he wants to play proactive football, he wants to be attacking. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he can implement that.
Yeah, I think I've listened to a few things and I've heard that he's been working very hard in the training ground. It's obviously really quick turnaround for him to have a game and, as you say, implement his own style. It could take time. But again, we all know that that new manager bounce, I believe it is there because, again, what it does when a new manager comes into a club, it gives the guys that have maybe not been getting a game the opportunity. So, yeah, I think it's a game he'll certainly be trying to look at. Getting points, and I know Jim Goodwin said that it's not ideal always facing a new manager, so his team will be very wary of Motherwell.
How tough can that be to try and turn around things so quickly when there is a negative air around the club? Obviously, Stuart Kettlewell quitting because of fan abuse, the results haven't been good, people haven't been happy with the style of play. If you're a manager with a fresh set of eyes going in there, having to try and quickly change the atmosphere, or can it work the other way where maybe that's what the players need and what the fans need, is that just fresh injection of something else?
Yeah, it can. Obviously, off the back of, I think, losing five in a row, I think 4 points are 4 points ahead of Dundee, who are sitting 11th at this moment in time. They've got Dundee United away. I think then it's Dundee at home. That's going to be a huge game for them. And then away to Rangers. So it's a big week for Motherwell. That, like you said about that new manager bounce, sometimes just that energy and enthusiasm can get you through. But ultimately, Motherwell have been on the slide. They need to start putting wins together because that's ultimately why they were taking their time appointing a new manager. I think losing obviously to Ross County as well so heavily was why that maybe fast forwarded it and got him into the job. But it's a big week for Motherwell.
He's used that phrase. I think Philippe Clement used it as well when he came into Rangers, that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. But when you look at the league table and you look at where Motherwell are, they're on 31 points. Dundee in that relegation playoff place are in 27 points. You know, things do really need to start moving quickly.
He'll soon find out it is a sprint this season for him. Yes, I get what he's saying. It is a marathon long term for him, but it's a sprint for Motherwell to make sure they're in the league next year. And the fans will soon let them know about that because they need to, as Scotty says, they need to start picking up points, even if it's a draw tomorrow, just to get a point on the board, break that rhythm of defeat, and build from there.
Because that's the thing, if you want to build and if he's got this long-term vision for Motherwell, the idea is not to start it in the Championship next season.
No, well, that's the thing. I think you can come in and you can do the interviews and say that your whole philosophy is obviously playing a more attractive style of football, which I think the Motherwell fans have been looking for, and obviously to nurture young players coming into the side. But ultimately, when you first come in, it's the short term. And the short term now for Motherwell is winning games. Like I said, they're obviously five losses in a row. A big week away to Dundee United, hard game. Home to Dundee could be huge. And then away to Rangers. So we can put the positive spin on it and say, yes, get a point tomorrow, then win. If they were to lose in the next week, they three games, they'd be under some real pressure.
How big is this weekend for Aberdeen as well? Because eventually, after months getting that win in the Premiership that they wanted and they needed, they need to build on that as well. It can't just be that one performance, that one result, and all of a sudden just assume that everything's fixed and they'll be back on a good run.
No, they need to build on it. And again, a game at Pittodrie, but again against it's Kilmarnock, who Derek McInnes has got a really good record against Aberdeen. Since he's been at Killie, so it's going to be a tough game. Killie are on a decent wee run themselves, and they've obviously got a lot to play for. They're trying to push towards that top six, so that's going to be a really interesting game because, as you say, Aberdeen finally got over the line, but again, it wasn't really that convincing. They were hanging on, but they got the victory, so will that inject a new bit of confidence into them? We'll wait and see tomorrow.
It's hard to see what mindset they'll have. Will they have that mindset of, you know, we've got that win, we can now push on, or will they still have it in the back of their heads that the run in the league has been so bad that could end up continuing if they don't get the result they need?
Yeah, and they play a difficult opposition, obviously, in Derek McInnes's Kilmarnock side, who we know can produce results, and, you know, obviously knows Aberdeen inside out. I think the positive spin for Aberdeen is obviously the Scottish Cup game at Dunfermline, and then obviously following that up for a league win was a massive, much needed win for them as a side. But that is a real difficult game, as Cammy does say. I think if Kilmarnock were to win that, it would go win 4 points of Aberdeen. That is how close this league is, and Kilmarnock, in terms of their standards, Derek McInnes has said, hasn't been as consistent as they would imagine that they've been at the start of the season, obviously taking part in Europe as well. So listen, a lot riding on that game as well tomorrow, and many other games.
Yeah, Hibs against Celtic, of course, the early kickoff. We've not really talked too much about Rangers St Mirren as a game, but just in terms of the atmosphere around the place, we mentioned it, you expect them to see some sort of American themes from the stand. Is there going to be the Star Spangled Banners, foam fingers out in the
foam fingers
tomorrow?
I'd love to see that tomorrow.
A foam finger?
Aye.
Fans do like buying into that type of stuff, though. If there is.
You wouldn't associate the foam finger with football.
But just with the American talk, you see, if clubs get into Europe for the first time, there's the beach balls come out to play. If Rangers fans are a bit excited about potential,
I'd be very surprised
American...
if I seen a foam finger at Ibrox tomorrow.
Yeah,
that way.
Not having it. What if you were playing and just glanced round to the stand at some point in your career and someone's just standing there with a big foam finger?
Well, unless it was if it was somebody over the age of 35, I'd be a bit short.
I could have done with two of them when I was playing.
But yeah, that's actually, let's get on with this teaser, shall we? Because can you name the eight top scorers in the English Championship since 2009-10 who have also played for Celtic or Rangers? You've got Ross McCormick, Daryl Murphy, Martin Waghorn, Gary Hooper, Tom Lawrence, Josh Windass. Two more to go.
Need some hints.
Timo Pukki, yes, of course. Yes, scored so many goals for Norwich. Wasn't as fruitful for Celtic. Someone that was fruitful for Celtic.
Give us a clue.
Aye, we need a clue.
He is from as far away as you can kind of get, really.
Scott McDonald.
Yes. Well done to those two on that teaser. Thank you very much to Scott Allen and to Cammy Bell tonight. Thank you for your phone calls. Thank you for your tweets as well, getting involved on tonight's show. Remember, we will be back tomorrow, a 6-hour special, all kicking off with Hibs against Celtic until 6 o'clock. We will be on air, so join us then.